made a couple of great plays in left field, and he may have just added his second home run of the game. Say goodbye to this one.
Reardon delivers.
There's a fly ball deep left center field. Right looking up. He did it. He did it.
And that's sliced to left field, and it's another chance for Mitchell, and he makes a fair-handed catch.
In my entire life, I've never seen that happen.
Hernandez, left field, it's deep, it is, gone! He got it! The kid in his last game, homers to left. We told you to come out! We told you to watch this one tonight!
And welcome to the ball game. August 12, Phil, not a couple of weeks ago, and it's big crunch time in both DBA and Melbourne Winter.
Yes, Neil, and good morning to you, good morning, Rob, and good morning, listeners.
Good morning,
yes, penultimate game in both leagues this weekend, and still a lot riding for a lot of teams on the results.
Absolutely.
And I guess we're going to talk about both the Dandenong situation and also the MWBL a little bit later on in the show.
We will, and we'll also have a chat to Jay Willis from Mornington, and we're going to talk immediately now to another Mornington guy in Brendan Wilson. How are you going, Brendan?
I'm well, evening. Oh, morning.
it's everything.
Yeah, I've got you again. Very well, thank you. Well, I think just on the DBA, I'm not across the Winter League as much at the moment, but on the DBA, I think this weekend really can define the finals.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Interesting. It always comes to a week or two before the final starts. You get these defining moments. But I must say, I'm really impressed with the way that both Dingley and Cheltenham recovered with their season because they got off to poor starts. But also, I'm equally as impressed as what Dandenong have done to hang on, to almost be still in contention. Now, anything can change over the next 48 hours. But for those three teams, I think whatever happens, they've both been pretty successful. They've all three have had really successful seasons. And I think very on top of that has been even more surprising with a lot of their kids not playing or moving on, or they've still managed to put together a very competitive side. I think the DBA has been really good this year. And I'll again say it, which I haven't said probably all year, but I did say a lot last year. I commend Bombeek and Bonio for coming back up. And I think that's the best thing for our game, and I think it's the best thing for the development of their club to be in A grade.
Yeah, no, good point. Look, let's talk a little bit of Major League now. We, when you have a bit of a look at, you like talking up the Yankees, but you in the last week or so, haven't Boston really stretched the lead and had a huge week, 9-1 out of the last 10, and got a little bit of breathing space on the Yankees. They're just talking sensational, Boston.
And that's it. I think the Yankees have been doing everything relatively okay. They've got the few bits and pieces have happened here and there, but Boston have just been outstanding, and that's that winning spirit that they've got, combined with some very good pitching that they've got going. So I think, look, I hope the Yankees can hold on, but right now Boston have definitely proven themselves to be the best team in the AL East. But there's still plenty of games left for that to swing, and there's still plenty of series between Boston and the Yankees to go. It might still be. Could be wrong, but I think there's still 9 games. So there's a 9 game swing potentially back in the Yankees' favour or for Boston to pull away.
I think you find that sort of the Yankees sort of going off the boil a bit sort of coincides with Judge also going off the boil a bit too. He's hasn't been as consistent as he was before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think that question is going to be asked if, at the end of the season. Does the home run derby affect someone's swing? I personally don't think it does, but he definitely was very hot. He was hot through the All-Star break. He's still, let's be honest, he's still hitting just under 300. He's still second in the league in home runs, in Major League Baseball in home runs, first in the American League. So he's still doing a lot of good things, but recently it hasn't been as much as he would like. But he's still in the middle and he's still a threat. He hits any pitch out of the ballpark, like Stanton, those guys. So they'll protect him and they'll get the guys hot around him and he'll get his mojo back.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because when he was firing, the Yanks were well and truly cruising along very nicely, but also their pickups haven't sort of had that impact either, have they?
Oh, their bullpen has, I would say. But look, Todd Frazier, I think, has got one hit as a Yankee in 25 games, so that doesn't help. But yeah, it's not been a the baby bombers. The kids have been outstanding, but the older guys and CC Sabathia's been hit again. I think the bullpen's the best part for the Yankees, and some of that QR lineup is not going very well.
I think one of the other problems is that particularly Sonny Gray, the couple of starts he's had no run support at all. So it's fairly difficult to win if you're not getting any run support.
Yeah, exactly right. They've brought over a guy that is, you know, that was one of the sought after trade pieces. He's come over, they've got him, and yeah, three starts, and he's had six runs total in three starts.
But at the end of the day, they're still plus two in the wild card situation, and I think with two-thirds of the season done, we are probably in a situation where we can look at the wild card with some meaning now, and they are still, you know, plus two. That they lead the wild card race. I still think they'll be there or thereabouts when postseason action comes around.
And if they are, then that is a win for their season. Now, if you're there, then you always expect to be able to go on with it. But from, you know, from a critical perspective, if they make the playoffs, there's no way. I don't think they thought they would make it this year. Now, someone will say they're the Yankees; they always were going to make it. But realistically, they didn't. Well, from what everyone knew, they didn't have the cattle. Unless the cattle performed well and above expectation, and which is what you would say they have, or maybe they've just done what the Yankees thought were capable, and you never know.
And of course, we talked about the Dodgers a little bit. They're the first team to get 80 victories, and they're on 81, and next's on 71, so they're just a mile ahead, aren't they? They're really putting together a season.
They are a force to be reckoned with. It's impressive the streak they've gone on in the last 30 or 40 games. I don't know where you fault it, but you can find maybe a couple of holes in their lineup, but if Bellinger stays hot and Seager and Turner can remain, then they're going along beautifully, and their pitching is just unbelievable. So they're doing everything right, and the Astros are really the only team in the AL that looks like they can compete. Boston obviously are popping their head up, but right now you would think it looks like it's a Dodgers Astros type of race. But that being said, you look at someone like Washington or the Cubs coming back with their experience and right back in the hunt. You just never know. And the best part about it is it really is exciting, and there's still a lot of this race to unfold. Yes, certain teams look like they've locked it up to get to the playoffs, but
I'm of the view that Washington are going to take it right up to the Dodgers. If we look at some of the numbers that both these teams are putting up, Washington have got four guys in the top 30 batting average: Murphy, Harper, Zimmerman, and Rendon. So they're no pushovers when it comes to the offensive power, and most importantly, they've got three pitchers in the top 15 for ERA: Scherzer, Gonzalez, and Strasburg. So they backed that offense up with three quality starters. So I don't think it's going to be all Los Angeles way when it gets to the postseason.
I 100% agree, Phil. The best thing I would say is though that they're two different types. They're two different teams. The Nationals are power pitching and home run hitting, you know, driving in runs. The Dodgers, yes, they're the same wrong. Bellinger's up there in the home runs and everything, but they play a lot more small ball boys.
Yep.
In Los Angeles, and so it's gonna come down to it's the age old question: if the bats fire, then anything can happen. And if the small ball is going to be the way to go, you've got to do it. The thing you can say is that the small ball of the Dodgers can probably keep them in a ball game against the power pitching of the Nationals. If the Nationals hitting gets on top of that Dodgers pitching, which put Kershaw to one side because he's just a freak. And you could say the same thing about Scherzer as well in competitive games. But if you put Clayton Kershaw aside, then you could make an argument that Washington can get on top of the other guys. But I think it's just two different teams, and I think that race and that NLCS that we hope to see unfold will just be one of the series of a time.
Absolutely, yeah. Couldn't agree more. And likewise, I think that potentially a Boston-Houston series in the American League carries the same sort of potential excitement about it, because again, you've got the offense of Houston versus the pitching of Boston.
And what are two teams that have so much talent in that now 22-24 age bracket?
Yep.
Anyone can sit there and say there's other guys. Absolutely, couldn't agree more. But if you just put those two lineups together and you take out three players out of each, the average age is right in that sweet spot, and they are just absolute athletes. They're superstars. They're all 6'4". The outfield of Boston and the infield of Houston is just ridiculous. And they're the two matchups right now. I'd love to see the Yankees there, but reality says that the two matchups, you'd wake up tomorrow morning and grab a coffee and click on the TV, or if you could fly to one of those states, they're the games you're looking for.
And just before we let you go, Willow, I know you're busy. If you look at National League Central, that's still the most interesting race, isn't it? Chicago, St. Louis, who have had a good week, and Milwaukee equal on wins, and just behind them, Pittsburgh. So that one's going to go live for a long time, I reckon.
Pittsburgh have been real surprising, as in they've turned their season around. Milwaukee have been ever consistent, which I don't think anyone expected. St. Louis hopefully blow up, and I want to see the Cubs there. That was new, Bush. But it really could be. The problem with it is it's becoming the league that is most competitive, but the teams don't know how to win.
Yeah.
We saw that. We've had that in the past with Dodgers and the Giants. No team really wanted to show that they were the best. And this division has been like this for a while. Yes, St. Louis have had their standout years, and so they have. But it really, this division has a history of playing this way where no one really wants to stand up and show who's boss. But the best part about it is the Milwaukee faithful and the Pirate lovers the chance to really be there right to the end. And with the two wildcard spots, it really opens up the race.
Well, I think the thing with this division right at the moment, which makes every game absolutely critical for all those four sides, is that none of them are actually anywhere near the top of the wild card race. I mean, the best, that St. Louis, who was second place in the Central, are six games back in the wild card, because Colorado and Arizona, even though they're miles behind the Dodgers, have actually won enough games to be leading the wild card race. So that makes every game that those four teams in the Central play absolutely critical for them maintaining the race right down to the wire.
It does, and the thing about it is, it's just such a great thing, because you're going to see these teams battle their backsides off, try and get there, and when they get to the playoffs, they're probably going to be so spent trying to win the battle that they fall over, and that's the unfortunate part about this great game and the way that it pans out in these situations. But that's exactly right. That's the problem with the league like this, where no one can just put themselves in a spot. Everyone chases them, and you might sneak into the wild card. None of these teams really want to bloody step up at the moment, and that's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head.
All right, mate. Look, we'll let you go, and we'll catch up again next week when it's the last game of the season.
You're playing tomorrow, Willow?
No, I'm not. No, I'm there. I'm
looking around,
coaching third base as much as I can. But I was just with kids, and I got a wedding and stuff to go to. I'll miss a few, but coming into the finals, I'm going to be a part of it. But I'm not stepping on the field as a player at all.
Okay, mate.
No worries.
All the best. Cheers.
Catch up. We'll see you there.
You enjoy your breakfast.
We might just have a quick break, and after the break, we'll have Jay Wills on the line, have a chat to him.
Winter is blowing in, and Chemist Warehouse has got you covered to help ward off those shivers and chills. And if you're getting out and about, Chemist Warehouse can help you with all you need on the footy field or netball court, from mouthguards to liniment. With stores in Baxter, Frankston, Mornington and Safety Beach, Chemist Warehouse is your one-stop winter shop. Chemist Warehouse, a station sponsor.
Hi, Chris Thode here. At Mercedes-Benz Mornington, we've been serving the Mornington Peninsula for over a decade and proudly support the Mornington Football Netball Club and Mornington Soccer Club. Mercedes-Benz Mornington, 29 Mornington Tarp Road, Mornington, or check out the website.
Did you know that the Bendigo Community Bank branches support our local sporting clubs? Our sponsor, the Bendigo Community Bank branches in Rye, Dramana and now in Rosebud, are supporting the local community and putting the people back into banking.
Our sponsor, the Rye Hotel and Best Western 14 Nelson, are proud to be servicing the Rye community. The Rye Hotel's been around for 80 years and is renowned for their good old-fashioned service and hospitality. Best Western 14 Nelson luxury accommodation and conferencing offer 30 stylish suites with modern lounges and living spa bathrooms with contemporary furnishings and fabrics. Come in and try our new menu. Function facilities available. Phone 5985 2277 or visit the Rye Hotel at 2415 Point Nepean Road, Rye.
And welcome back to the ball game. And we do have Jay Willis, Mornington coach and Moorabbin coach too now for this summer on the line. Good morning to you there, Jay.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Hey, Jay.
Going very well. And I always like to do a bit of research on the names and all that sort of stuff. And first thing that bobbed up for Jay Willis was Williamstown Team of the Century.
Well, I couldn't get a starting gig in the Team of the Century, really. So I think I was down on the bench for the Team of the Century, so... But it was a bit of a privilege being on that list. There's some good names like Justin Charles and a few other guys that have had pretty good careers.
Indeed. So 230 senior games, 220 in the first, which is pretty good effort. And at that stage, I think you went on and played a few more after that, of course. A bit of National League with the Monarchs.
Yep.
And described as being a ripper of a shortstop in your day. You'll take all those accolades, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people probably hated me back in the day. I used to play hard and I liked to win. So, I've probably rubbed a few people up the wrong way.
So what are your best memories of Williamstown and some of the players you were with then?
Just remember back in the young days, you know, the social side of sporting club. It was pretty big back in, you know, the early 90s, through the 90s. Just hanging around the club, you know, you get there in the morning, junior games, and you wouldn't leave till, you know, 10 o'clock at night. So just those days of hanging around and throwing, hitting pretty much all day long. That's what I can remember, you know, back in the Willy days. And yeah, and as I said, you know, played with some great players, Peter Jacobson, Justin Charles. We used to get a lot of the imports from back in the old Monarch days. So a few guys that went on to play Major League Baseball. So yeah, it was a pretty good time back then.
Jay, who were some of the coaches that you had during that time? And of them, yeah, who would you say was the one that had the most influence on you as a player?
Two guys that come to mind were probably Larry Mega and James Waddell. Probably in my 14 years old, probably going up to probably 18 years old. Larry Mega, I think, was there for probably 4 years, which I played under him and had a great relationship with him. And then James Waddell also, you know, was alongside with the Monarchs, and he had a lot of experience in that higher level. And obviously Larry Mega did a lot of state coaching back in the day, and learned a lot off those two guys.
I think if my memory serves me, James came across from Perth, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a Perth boy. Came over to Melbourne with the Monarchs and found a home at Williamstown for a few seasons, I think he got us back up to Division One for a year or two. So, yeah.
And after that, you spent some time at Dandenong, would that be right?
After the Woolly days, I probably bounced around a couple of clubs in Somerville.
Yeah.
Went to Springvale for a couple of years and then Melbourne for a couple of years, where we made a grand final over at Melbourne, but couldn't get the job done. I think we lost the grand final to Melbourne back in the day when Melbourne were pretty strong in Division One. So, and then, yeah, sort of had a bit of a break from baseball. You know, had kids and family and life and sort of takes over. And then they came back. I live over in, you know, Seaford side, and went over and played for Bomb Beach for a couple of years. And then probably from there, you know, got into the coaching side and, yeah, went to Dandenong 2 years ago, or coming up 3 years ago now, and started coaching there and just been progressing from there on.
So what was it? So you had a little bit of time with Dave Clarkson. Did you manage to coincide with a year with Dave?
Yeah, so last year Dave came on board and I sort of worked under him, which, you know, working under a guy like Dave Clarkson, who's a Hall of Famer baseballer, learn a lot. And look, Mornington, you know, came to me over summer and threw a great offer at me, and you know, I liked the personnel and the players they had down there, and thought, you know, well, give it a shot. And so I moved out of Dandenong and found a home at Mornington.
You wouldn't say that was a bit of a Moorabbin connection, would you? With your 2 years at Moorabbin and Willow down there pestering in your ear.
Yes, Willow and Big Hardy. So yeah, look, I mean, they were a big influence in it. But I like what they stand for and the way they were going about it. So it was a difficult decision. You know, the time at Dandenong, I love my time at Dandenong. I still associate with a lot of the people at Dandenong. So it was a tough decision. It did take a while for me to sort of come to the conclusion that I was going to move to Mornington. I was happy with what's been going on down there this year.
Yeah, look, I can understand that, but I think once, when you've had a stint of coaching and you enjoy that, it's difficult often then to go back into an assistant coach's role. We all then aspire to be head coaches again, and so I can understand why you made that move. What were you, when you went to Mornington at the start of the year, what were your immediate expectations of what you wanted to achieve this season?
Well, look, I thought, you know, we were definitely finals contenders. Whether, you know, I didn't want to try and look, you know, a grand final type team. But look, I thought we were definitely top four material. I think we have the people and the talent down there to do that. So, you know, my expectations was try to get into the final, and then anything can happen from there. So,
And what players that you've seen over the course of the year, who have improved, and what is it that's led to that improvement?
Sorry, mate. Say that again?
Of the players that are on your roster, who have you seen make the most improvement, and what do you think have been the reasons behind that improvement?
There's a couple. We introduced a young kid, Jack Pearson. You know, probably looking at the stats, you know, hasn't had a fantastic year, but we've had to blood a few guys into that team. We did, you know, obviously Willow had surgery and was out this year. We lost a couple other guys from last year's team. So we had to blood a few guys in. A couple of new guys came in. But probably the guy that's probably standing out is Kieran Lewis. I did play with him at Moorabbin over summer. But my expectation from him was, you know, he's just blown that out of the water. Just the way he motivates team, the way he's been hitting lately, probably better than I thought that I was going to get out of him. And you know, we got young lefty over, Jason Arthurs as well, that came over with us. So, you know, I don't think there's one complete standout. I think there's guys week in, week out that are taking up the slack when we need to.
How's Josh Mulheron going? I know I had a bit of a look at him last week, and just that first throw of the day, it looked like his arm had come off with the ball, but he got through the day all right in the end. But is he a little bit tentative about the shoulder, or he's rested it, or what's been going on there?
Yeah, it's more the elbow.
Okay.
And I think Josh has been dealing with his elbow for the last few years. We sort of had to put him on ice towards the middle of the year. He was getting a bit sore. I think it's more a bit of like tennis elbow, but we'll probably roll him out this weekend. Not for a start or anything, but I'm quite keen to try and get him in the game. 2 weeks coming up, the finals, we sort of need to know where we stand with his elbow and how it's going to hold up. So we're pretty keen to try and get him on the hill and see how he goes. But look, Josh is, he hasn't thrown much this year, playing a bit more third base, but hitting the cover off the ball.
Yeah, he's batting well, yeah.
He's been one of our stronger power guys in that middle of the lineup.
And Lukey Howe must be pretty good to see him playing quite regularly this season, because he's a pretty important player as well.
Yeah, Lukey Howe, he's been a standout. His bat was a bit slow at the start, but in the middle and towards the end of this season, he's just been one of our toughest hitters in that lineup, and plus throwing the ball, really throwing well at the moment.
Yeah, moving on, Jay. Spent 2 years at Moorabbin as assistant coach at Grant Irving.
Yep.
Two successful years, you might say. Took off the second division flag.
Yep.
And then made a pretty good fist of it last year in the first division, where I think you just missed out by a booze. But you've taken over this year with Grant stepping down. You're looking for the same sort of success, or to build on what started last year?
Yeah, definitely. I think we'll be right in the mix this year. As I said before, Willow got his shoulder operated on, and you know, we know he's played professional baseball, so he's probably nearly rehabbing to come back opening day for summer. So yeah, we're definitely thinking, trying to push into that finals race for summer season.
Has Moorabbin been active in the go search for a player market?
Oh, look, I think every club does. I think we're still in talks with some people. I think we've retained most of the guys from last year. Apart from Grant, it's probably a bit undecided what his movements are for summer season. But, you know, we're trying and hoping to get him back and keep the same core guys that we had last year. And I think if we do that, I think we'll be in a good position to make another run at it.
Is it your intent to bring an import out?
Yeah, so, yeah, we have got an import. Don't tell us for the name. I'm not quite sure off the top of my head. But
is he going to stay more than four games?
So he's a lefty that comes out of, he was in the Cubs organisation. I think he got to double A level with the Cubs organisation and has been pitching in independent ball over in the States. So he looks pretty good. So with him, Willow, we've got Big Chico that's going to come back. So we'll have a decent pitching rotation going.
So I tell you, you're going to be using Chico a little bit more this year.
Yeah, well, we will. I think, you know, coming off this winter where he's been throwing really well and throwing a lot of innings too and holding up, you know, his body's holding up, so, which was a really good sign.
Yeah, he's a bit of an awesome sign on the mound.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're 7 foot five and you're throwing the ball from about 43 feet by the time he releases it.
That's right. And if he gets it going, it can be scary. So, we'll be all right come summer. As I said, you need to get off to a good start and, you know, you don't want to be dropping games early and trying to chase people down. So we're looking to get firing early, get a few wins under the belt and go from there.
So, and just finally, mate, Kane Bumstead's your assistant for the summer? Or we lost him? No, I think that little bip.
I think that bip was...
You might have just dropped out there.
Dropped out on us.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good talking to Jay anyway to find out what was going on.
It was. No, that was a good call to get Jay. And,
actually, he probably knew he was getting the wind up because I can see you get the music.
Well, I was trying to get some music and I was trying to get a little mention from our main sponsor, but it's...
Peter the Possum Man. Well,
yeah, I think it's working now. And
he hasn't done any work in Carrum Downs yet because they're still running across my roof.
Yeah, all right.
You don't
mind.
Pay your bill. That's the problem.
We'll be back after this break.
Keep your household pests at bay. Call Peter the Possum Man today. 9646 4222. Do it once, do it right. For professional inspections, advice, treatment and control of all pests, all suburbs with 70 years experience, call 9646 4222. A division of Adams Pest Control.
Johnny, I think I've solved your dirty car problem with WeWash Mobile.
Wow, looks brilliant.
It sure is. And they cleaned it here right at home. Remember, wherever you are on the peninsula, WeWash Mobile come to you. Mobile detailing at its absolute best and great value.
Andy, I'm sold.
Me too. Here's their number, 9783-4031, or you can book online at wewashmobile.com.au. Call them now.
Station sponsor.
This is Jess from Oasis Pop-Up Bakery and Cafe in Mornington. Our new home is at the corner of Nepean Highway and Benton's Road. We're all about nourishing food, music, conversation and community. So we're super proud to support our favourite local community radio station, RPPFM, as program sponsors of Your Story Counts with Nan Abbott. Pop into our new home for breakfast, lunch or a coffee, Monday to Sunday, and enjoy the show.
Somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you.
Sing it.
We will rock you.
And welcome back to the ball game. And Rob, during that break, just confirmed with Jay that we didn't chop him off. There was just a little drop out, but we had finished what we were going to say anyway.
He was all good. He was very, very happy.
Excellent.
He took one step to the left and
everything fell away.
His house.
Went ping. Yeah. I know what that's like.
So he's gone back to breakfast anyway.
Yeah, well, good on him. And we just mentioned Kane Bumstead, of course, who is his assistant. Okay, let's look at last weekend, the big doubleheader. And, we're a bit disappointed because we're all geared up for the Sunday game and... which would have been a fantastic game, Cheltenham and Frankston, but they didn't get on there at all, Rob, did they?
No, well, they had both grounds going, and quite frankly, I reckon they could have gone onto the second ground. The umpires were a bit soft.
Yeah. Once they heard that you weren't going to be calling the game behind their
when I got back, they said, "Where's the van?" I said, well, it's still in Mornington, mate, so a bit of bad luck about that. And they said, if we got the call that you're going to start, we could have been half a chance, but... that never happened, the umpires got a bit soft and called it off.
And they'd really hung around for over an hour, and it was interesting, the other one that got called off was the Berwick Boneo one, which we saw photos of, and there was deep puddles.
No hope that was never ever going to start.
And they suggested maybe trying Dandenong ground, which is a bit tricky, an hour after the start of play. They thought of going up then. Dingley and
I'd question whether you can actually do that.
Same
whether
here.
Whether it's legal.
Yeah. Actually, I think at 9 o'clock in the morning, with plenty of notice, I think you can get away with it.
You may have done it. Or even...
When you turn up to the ground...
And an hour after it,
say, let's all go to Dandenong or Dingley or something and have a go.
Forget that.
No, it's not on.
Yeah. You might do that in C2 some days if you just want to have a bit of fun, but you're not really going to do that in the...
Well, not even
see
too. You take a wash out and just rest the body.
But
the honest truth is, at 9 o'clock in the morning or even at 10 o'clock in the morning where everybody gets plenty of notice where to go, yes, you can do it.
Yep.
But at 1:32 o'clock, you can't turn around and say, "Oh, hang on, we'll nip off to somewhere else and play." Because that's just you're just pulling the toggle there.
Yeah. All right, so let's just reflect back on that weekend. Who had a really great weekend?
And I think the two big winners out of the weekend were firstly Mornington, who picked up. They got on the Sunday and gave Bond Beach a fix up 14-1.
Only there for about an hour and a quarter.
Yeah, which
all
did
over.
Their percentage no harm at all. Yeah. And of course, they were backing up after having accounted for Berwick 3-0 on the Saturday.
That was a good game.
Two
game.
Wins. Yeah, you come away from a doubleheader weekend with two wins, you're going to be happy. And both of those score lines aided their percentage, which, as we sit now with them in Mornington in third position on 23 points,
they have a better percentage than the second team.
Percentage of 6.31, which is better than Berwick. The other massive winner, and let's be honest, if Jack had sat here last week and said we're going to win both games and we're going to score 29 and the opposition are going to score three, we would have said, "Jack, you're delusional, and we want a kilo of whatever it is you're on." But
he was very upbeat, though.
He was very upbeat, and particularly the Sunday game. I mean, the 19-1 scoreline on the Saturday is probably an aberration for Frankston. You know, whilst we all thought Dingley, that we actually thought that was going to be a flip of the coin game, that Dingley had an opportunity to win, Frankston had an opportunity to win. 19-1.
Did you see a bit of that? They got ahead early, and
actually,
that was
I saw
it really,
all
wasn't?
Of it, unfortunately.
Okay.
And it was just off to a bad start.
Yep.
Had a chance to pull it back, but we talked about it last night. When you only get two hits for the game, you're not going to win anything.
Correct.
And too many mistakes were made and just not enough chuckers on the hill.
Yep. And then, of course, on the Sunday, and this was the game he was really upbeat about, that they wanted Dandenong. They respected Dandenong, but
they
weren't
thought they played well against them?
12-2. That's a fix-up.
So, I popped down and had a look at for about 20 minutes of that.
Yep.
And Dingley played well. Dandenong turned up with something akin to an 8-2.
Okay.
On one side.
So they didn't have their...
There was a lot of players not in the lineup.
A few not either Dave rested Clark, or not playing on the Sunday.
Dave
or...
Clarkson took off to watch his daughter play in a footy game somewhere.
Okay.
So there was a lot of players unavailable. So it's a bit hard to sort of gauge where Dingley sat. I think
it's the same story, though. You don't want to go through undefeated. So in a sense, it's not going to hurt them.
At the same time, too, Dandenong sort of didn't turn up with a full roster, let's put it that way.
And that now puts Dingley in the situation where they now control their own destiny. They've got a tough 2 weeks ahead of them.
They do.
If they win both these games and therefore stay in the four, then they deserve it. But they have got themselves in a position where if they win both their games, they actually can't be replaced in the four. But their first challenge, of course, this afternoon will be against Cheltenham, who are only half a game back of them.
Yep.
So, of course, in this situation, if Mornington get over Frankston and Cheltenham get over Dingley, then all the great work that Dingley put in last week, they drop back out.
They go back to where they were two weeks ago.
It is about... But they are in the situation where I'd rather be in their shoes than Cheltenham's.
Yeah.
Because if
Cheltenham lose, that's the end of it.
If Cheltenham lose, that's the end of it. Yeah. Dingley, if they lose, they've still got an opportunity in the last game if they win that, and of course Cheltenham. The other big game, Frankston Mornington.
Huge game.
Mornington currently sitting, as we said, in third position on 23. Frankston have slipped out of the four, only half a game behind Dingley, but the reward for a Frankston victory in this game, if Dingley get knocked off by Cheltenham, is a place back in the four. So bucket loads to play for all those teams this weekend. And of course, the other massive game is first versus second.
Yeah.
Dandenong versus Berwick. And again, courtesy of Mornington inflating their percentage significantly last week, Dandenong knock off Berwick. If Mornington knock off Frankston,
they can get
Berwick go out of second spot.
Yeah.
So lots of movement,
lots of shifts
can go on during the course of this weekend.
So let's have a look at the first game, which is Bond Beach Boneo down at Boneo.
Boneo by a street.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Bond Beach going there because they got their win. Six, seven weeks ago.
I think
Boneo played brilliantly against Boneo.
If they got a full roster turning up,
they won't have a full roster, but they'll be a little bit stronger.
They've
reorganised their infield a bit, and they're reorganising
Boneo are free hitters. Bond Beach should do struggle a little bit in the hitting department at times. I think Barnier should sneak up and get their, fifth win for the year, which would be a good outing for them for their return in A grade this year.
If they end up with 5.5, that's a fair effort for considering where they were a couple of weeks ago.
I'm with you,
last year.
I think Barnier.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, so you picked last time when you said Bondwedge were going to win. You picked that one too, Phil. You must...
Sometimes you get lucky, mate.
Look, I think Barnier got a better chance this week. They haven't got the best nine, but they've picked a side that can field well and defend well, which they haven't always had.
Bombers just sort of struggle a little bit when it comes to the hitting department. They haven't got that ability to sort of string 2-3 hits together. Where Barnier, being free swingers. Yep. You put the ball in the right areas or the wrong areas for the pitcher, they'll hit pretty hard.
They'll hit the ball, yeah. And interesting, on that Saturday game that they played, they were in that game till the seventh dig. They're only one run behind, and the eighth dig was a blowout with eight runs, and that made it look like a bad loss. But yep. they were in the game for 8 of the 9 innings, basically, or 7 of the 8 innings. So, yeah,
if you look at the runs for and against, you know, they're 13 runs better defensively, but they're also 40 runs better in offense. So that sort of tells the tale of the story, to be honest.
Over the years, they've batted better than Bond Beach, and if that continues again this Saturday afternoon, then that's what happens. All right, let's look at the second game. Where are we?
Dingley and Cheltenham.
That was the one we talk about. And you set the scene nicely before, Phil. If Dingley win this one... it's more of a story about the end of Cheltenham, but doesn't absolutely secure for Dingley, but puts them in a better position than...
It buries Cheltenham because it means that they're a game and a half out with one to play, so obviously
they can't get in. Yeah.
But again, if Cheltenham beat Dingley, then they go in, but it's not curtains for Dingley. It would get down to the last game. Dingley obviously have to be chock-a-block full of confidence after last weekend's results. I mean, and you would think that they would ride that confidence, ride the good form. Their hitters are clearly seeing the ball well, driving the ball well. And I think that in a tight one, because Cheltenham equally have, in the back half of the season, particularly when they've got their college guys back, have done very, very well. But I just think the emotion that Dingley would have expended last week, they've got to this position. I think that Jack will have them in a situation where they will know the importance of the game, and I think in a very tight one for me, Dingley just.
Yeah, I think, the Dingley kids are playing with no fear, to be honest. They're just trotting out because they're too young to realise, you know, what pressure situations are. They're just playing like kids do. And it's going to be tough because I think Cheltenham's always a bit of a tough ask. Cheltenham sort of finding extra legs down there, and it's going to be an interesting thing. It's going to depends on who gets on the hill for Dingley this week. I do know that Jack was saying he's got 2 or 3 kids trotting off to college. I'm not sure where they go this week, next week, or
I think they play tomorrow, this afternoon,
or today, or whatever, and then next weekend,
and then next weekend they're gone.
Yep.
That's my understanding of all the kids who are going off to college.
Well, I'd be thinking the young guys who threw on the Saturday. You're watching a bit of that game.
Grant Irving threw on the Saturday.
Okay.
I don't know why our boys didn't hit him because he only threw straight, to be honest. And it was pretty disappointing from the Frankston side of things. They were just swinging a fresh air, to be honest.
But Grant will be, I mean, it's an important game, but at least he'll be around in the finals if a couple of the younger throwers are missing.
If Mitch Wilcox is going off to college, I think Jackson Boyd's still up with Major League.
I think the academy kids are back.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm going on that, I noticed that... Jordan Barnett is back in the Ringwood side tomorrow in our league.
So I'm
suggesting that the kids through have been at the Major League Academy are actually back.
They might even start Jackson Boyd tomorrow and have Irvo in relief. It depends on whether Irvo wants to play or not.
Also depends how much work Jackson's done in the last week or so. Jack's not the kind of coach, if the kid's coming off having pitched 2 days ago, pitched 3 or 4 innings 2 days ago. Jack's not the kind of coach who's going to push him out there.
The other one they can start, Mitch Wilcox, he looked pretty impressive on Sunday. He threw pretty hard and found spots. They've got a couple of choices there. you can toss a coin on this one, to be honest. And look, I think Dingley might get up, but yeah, look, it's not a real confident. Yeah, they're gonna get in. Cheltenham could get up because they've been playing pretty good ball lately.
Berwick and Dandenong, as you said, top two.
And, yeah, interesting this.
Berwick didn't have the greatest of weekends, so they would have been disappointed to have been washed out on the Sunday.
Yeah,
and could not hit the ball against Mornington on the Saturday.
Yeah, they've got beat 3-0 against Mornington, and let's be honest, none of us have ever played in a game where we've scored no runs and won.
exactly.
And then you can actually understand why they really wanted
to.
No
wonder
to
they
get...
put you up the same pedestal as Confucius, mate. Yeah,
absolute journey.
But they... That's why they really would have wanted to get on Sunday to try and because they would have absolutely fancied themselves against Boneo. It's interesting what you were saying before about Dandenong turning up with only a part side and a lot of guys from their lower grades.
I only recognised two guys that have played in their own grade, and one of them was walking around with his hands in his pocket, and the other one was standing at second base. So
you know, is it about giving blokes who have been hard workers throughout all the year, you know, a game in the firsts because top spots in no jeopardy. I don't know.
I think it was a lot of factors. I think a lot of them had other engagements.
Yep.
Excuse me. So that sort of allowed for that. It was probably just bad timing having a game on that Sunday and whatever.
Because it is dangerous to flirt with your form so close to, finals.
I think you'll find this Saturday they'll be back to full strength again. Mm-hmm. And I think Dandenong will... sort them out pretty quick.
I agree. I think that Dandenong will win this game if they're
at full
strength.
Two games coming up to the finals. I think Clarko's going to have cherry ripe. He's going to say, right, boys, now we start to knuckle down and really go for it. And we're not going to have any mercy on anybody.
All right. The final game's Frankston and Mornington, an absolute cracker of a game. And how many times have they played one of the last two rounds as a battle for fourth spot or something like that? Well, I reckon the last two seasons that's
happened. Last year it was that, and the year before I think it was pretty close.
Very,
to
very
it
similar to that as well. So they'll be ready for that sort of battle. The Mornington side looks like Rowan Johnson will throw, and Louis will be back in the catching position.
They've got
Luke Howell there as well. So. And they've got Lukey who'll sit in the outfield and be available
They've got a pretty strong side. Frankston's got their best side available.
I'll tell you who else who plays well for Mornington and at shortstop, Paul Wignall.
Oh, he's a terrific player.
Very reliable player in the infield. And
the snuff related.
A couple of times he hasn't been there and it's been noticed, but he was there last couple of times I've seen them. The last few weeks he's been
around.
Did
he have a stint at college? Going back a few years now?
I was going to say yes, but I'm a bit lost in the detail on that.
I mean, I recall seeing him as a young player at Sandringham in the summer, and he was extremely impressive. He was only just out of juniors at that particular time. And then he disappeared off the scene, and I assume it must have been to go to college.
No, we did stop playing baseball for a while. Okay. And it wasn't until he actually bought a house just across the road from the Mornington ground that Willow got him and saw him in the street one day and said, oh, where you living? Blah, blah, blah. Come down and play. Yeah.
Mm. No, he's a very good player. Yeah. Very good player.
And so is Mitch Bowen likely to start for Frankston tomorrow, do you think?
He's about the only chucker down there, so...
At the moment, The others just aren't really...
They really got to find... Going, if they're going to contend this weekend, they've got to find some serious backup. They can't rely on...
Who's been hitting for them?
Well, Lakesy and Ricky Wheel have been the two consistent hitters.
Okay.
They're the only two that got hits last week.
Yep.
They got to do a lot more. They don't seem to have all that much trouble hitting Mornington. Their trouble has been stopping Mornington, if you can understand
that.
Yep, yep, yep. They have a tendency to leak a few runs, and it's usually on mistakes. Franks has just got to go flat out. And if they turn around to Mitch and say, look, give us as many as you can. Try and hold them down. We'll try and get some runs for you, run support, and then hopefully get down. Somebody's going to throw the last two innings.
Yep. Mornington, second most runs for, second least runs against, on a roll after last week. your boys coming off a horrible loss. I can't go past Mornington in this game.
Mornington should be favoured and at home and a whole lot of things like that. So you'd be leaning towards them.
I'm leaning towards Mornington, but if I don't tip Franks and I won't get...
You're in trouble.
Perhaps. That's right, yeah.
But look, I think in reality, I think Mornington are riding the wave pretty good at the moment.
And if Mornington...
And Frankston have really got to dig deep and find something to really pull out of the bag. And look...
If Mornington and Dingley both win, it's all over.
Yeah.
Correct.
The four's wrapped up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Frankston actually dig deep and actually... Drag one out towards the end.
Yeah. Which would be great because that keeps the interest...
Keeps everything alive
right
into the last round.
And with Bond Beach in the last game, well... If Franks can get in, they should, in theory, stay in.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just have a little break, and then we'll come back and look at winter ball in the last home stretch.
Maybe the noise in your roof is not a possum. It could be
you dirty rotten rat.
Call Peter the Possum Man today, and that rat could be gone tomorrow. 9646 4222 for all pests, all suburbs. With over 70 years' experience, call Peter the Possum Man, 9646 4222, a division of Adams Pest Control.
Hi, I'm Jack, and my dad's Pete from the Mornington and Rosebud Telstra stores, this year's winners of the Telstra Licensee of the Year Award. My dad has been really busy lately, but he and the team have been recognised for their customer service excellence, and you really need to get in store and experience it for yourself. So drop in and see the Telstra Licensee of the Year team at the Telstra store in Mornington or Rosebud.
Or call us on 1300-MY-TELSTRA.
And in the meantime, I'm off to play cricket with Dad.
Hey Jack, bowl it to me!
A station sponsor.
Eview Real Estate Partners know that buying, selling or leasing a property is a major event in a person's life. Eview understand and have a team of people who are committed to making your real estate experience as stress-free as possible. Thinking of a career in real estate? Positions available now all over Melbourne. For more, call Eview on 8781 3888 or online at www.eview.com.au and expect extraordinary. Eview, now you're at home. A station sponsor.
And welcome back to the locker room. Just had the ball game. We've just had the seventh inning stretch. And we're going to have a look at the winter ball in Victoria, in Melbourne. And as Phil mentioned earlier on, it was a fascinating round. But, it's still wide open. Some crunch games on
this week. The deck chairs on the Titanic were shuffled a little bit last week. There were a number of results that went according to form, most typically North Baldwin 6 getting over Essendon 2 and Greensboro 7 getting over Doncaster 2. But then in the other games, there was a very close result that probably went the favoured way, but I don't know that we thought it would be that Research 7 over Ringwood 6 out at Research. We're probably all a little bit surprised that it was as close as that. Forest Hill just getting over the line against Watsonia 5-4, which is going to make it very, very tough for Watsonia
that
now.
That almost puts pay to Watsonia, I think.
No, it doesn't put pay to them. They're still a really interesting... It's tough. It's very tough for them. And, of course...
Yeah, a lot of things have to happen.
Yeah, they've got to have some things go in their favour. Yeah. Probably the biggest result of the round was GMBC 2 getting over Heathmont 1, inflicting Heathmont's third consecutive loss, which has seen them drop from top spot to third place. But having said that, they could equally, if they win tomorrow or this afternoon, I keep saying tomorrow, win against Essendon, which is certainly the favoured way, and a couple of other games go differently, they go back to top spot. So the top three are all assured of playing finals. Forest Hill on top at the moment with 24, Research 23, Heathmont 22. All three of those teams, it's mathematically impossible for them to miss the four.
It's basically courtesy of Heathmont's percentage. It sort of really cuts out GMBC if they do finish on the same points, as, say, for example, with Heathmont.
Well, I think, that's exactly right. But the situation gets down that we've got Northbourne in fourth position on 19. GMBC, courtesy of that win last week, are into... fifth spot, half a game behind on 18. Watsonia on 17 and Ringwood on 16. So all four of those teams are playing for one spot, and it is mathematically possible for all of them to still make it. Now, for Ringwood, you talk about things having to go right for Watsonia. For Ringwood, they've got to win their last two, and effectively those three teams above them have got to lose their last two. Yeah. So there's a bucket load got to go right for them. For Watsonia, similar situation. They really need to win their last two, and then depending on how the other games go, will determine whether they get in. They have some say in that themselves because they play in this round GMBC. Yeah.
What's happened now? If you look at Watsonia the last 3 or 4 weeks, they haven't hit the ball. They just.
No,
they've been competitive with their defence, but they just have not hit the ball in the last 3 weeks.
That's exactly right. And actually, it's interesting.
And as you said before, rather wisely, if you score 0 or 1, you probably don't win.
If you score 1, you've got a chance, but you've got to be real good. If you score 0, you've got no chance.
That's actually, exactly right. If you have a look at GMBC and Watsonia's for and against, it's fairly even. Except, you know, GMBC's just got their nose ahead in both departments, really.
Well, see, GMBC have actually had 4 draws on the season. Mm. And none of that, we haven't had a rain out. So they're all games where they've played and it's been a tie. Yeah. So they've been in a lot of games and they've had a few hard luck 1-2 run losses as well. So they're right in the mix and it becomes important for them to keep winning. So they win tomorrow and that's curtains for Watsonia.
Yeah.
If equally, if Watsonia win tomorrow, it will then make it difficult for GMBC. So, and of course, the team that sits in fourth spot at the moment, North Bourne, they control their own destiny. If they win the last two, it doesn't matter what happens with the three teams.
You'd assume they get over Doncaster.
Correct.
As you're saying, they're a bit like flat track bullies, though.
Yeah, North Bourne, it's certainly the favoured result is for them to get over Doncaster. But then they have a really important game in the final round against Research. Now, potentially, Research may be playing for top spot or defending top spot, depending on what happens in the Forest Hill Ringwood game tomorrow. So, this afternoon. So it is a fascinating round. There can be changes in the top three. Northbourne, if they win, can't go off fourth spot, but can get a little bit closer. And, of course, the teams in fifth, sixth and seventh position, GMBC and Watsonia playing each other, that's just critical. The loser of that is Cactus.
Well, see, basically at the moment you've got Greensboro, Doncaster and Essendon. They just can't make it.
No, they can't. But both Greensboro and Doncaster, because of they do have the capacity
to win games, they can shape a few things.
Particularly Greensboro. I mean, they've shown in the back half of the season, they've taken some scalps, which are causing this little logjam that's just back out of the floor.
Well, Doncaster's been surprising. You know, they've been belting a lot of games, but they've also played some ripping games too. So,
well, see, they have surprised me. They certainly gave us a fix up early in the season, beat us 6-0, and we didn't play great, and they played really well.
Yeah.
So they also defeated Watsonia, and they took it right up to Heathmont a couple of weeks ago. They were in a 3-3 tie with 2 out in the bottom of the last, and Mr. Dingle does what Mr. Dingle does very well and hit the ball. the houses 3 streets away.
Just having a little look, when you talk about GMBC, the ones who have their draws with Research, who I reckon are just ripping form at the moment,
yep.
North Bourne, Watsonia and Greensboro, any one of those, they win, puts them into fourth spot at the moment. If they turn two of those into wins, they're just about secure in fourth spot. So they've had a frustrating year, but on general baseball play, they've probably said we've played some good baseball this year.
I suppose on form at the moment, you say GMBC and start favourites tomorrow.
Well, that's where I'm going to.
Oh, no question.
I'd have them play against Watsonia.
Yeah. And I think they'll
off
win.
Off the boil.
I think they'll win.
And your boy, the Eagles, they should be riding cock a hoop at the moment.
Oh, look, we're very confident. The boys are playing well, and we take our best to Ringwood tomorrow and we probably win.
And that
Ringwood, we don't take our best, though.
I think that Ringwood ground is rather protected from the wind too a little bit because it's sort of down the shallows a bit.
Yeah, my concern is how wet it's going to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold water great, and you're right, it sits in a bit of a basin, which, while it might be protected a bit from the wind, it also it means it holds the water.
Yeah, okay. So, I remember the Frankston kids playing out there when the combined leagues had the under-17s, and we got out there and it was sort of, you know, pretty wet.
Yeah.
And so, the grass was about 4 inches long too.
Yeah, so. No, they do a good job to try and get the field up because it's an important game for everybody. But we're confident if we're at our best that we'll win. If we're not at our best, well then we probably won't. But Heathmont over Essendon, Research over Greensboro, Northbourne to beat Doncaster, Forest Hill to beat Ringwood, and GMBC over Watsonia, which will still set up a very, very fascinating last round.
I actually agree with you, Phil.
Absolutely, guys.
Jeez, we've agreed for once, but I better change a tip, mate. We can't agree on everything.
All right, you'll be listening.
We didn't agree with one in the Dandy.
We're listening to the ball game. We'll be back again next week. Enjoy your baseball this afternoon.
Good luck, everybody.
Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Don't get hurt.
Thanks to Jay Willis for joining us today, too.
Fernandez, left field. It's deep.